The reason we won't have a seating problem after today's class is because we come now to the hard sayings. There was a time in the life of Christ Jesus on earth here when the disciples were faced with these hard sayings, and quite a number broke ranks who were the faint-hearted. And I don't believe he ever really had an overcrowding problem. We're in chapter 6 of John, and we're in the chapter titled God Revealing Himself as Christ on Earth, which is the last chapter of Beyond Words and Thoughts. Now, I suppose we should be beyond words by now and beyond thoughts, living that way. We know that there is a requirement in Scripture that man goes through a second birth. Most people dread the idea. And those who think they like it find they like it up to a point. Rebirth, of course, sounds very good. Like I can add something to myself. But we discover that the only way we can add to ourselves is by subtracting. We have to remove the onion skins of the serpent. And that serpent is a very strange fellow. He has fooled the world. Moses gave the name serpent to this world mind. And throughout your Bible, you find serpent and serpents mentioned quite frequently. It seems that the serpent thinks, and the thoughts of the serpent are usually referred to as serpents. And so you will find references to the hissing serpent, or the furious serpent, or the poisoned tongue of the serpent, or the painful bite of the serpent. These are all talking about mortal thought. And even the disciples were told they would have the power to tread on serpents. And of course that meant that they would have the power to overcome mortal thought. And then later we saw in another passage in Matthew somewhere, the Master says, I saw Satan fall out of heaven. And we find that Satan is the serpent, and its falling out of heaven means that its power to keep man out of heaven has been broken. And so always the serpent represents a very strange thing in our lives, something that stands between us and reality. The full extent of the serpent is being revealed by Christ Jesus, showing the non-reality, the non-existence, and the non-power of matter. The matter of this world is a creation of the serpent, the world mind. And when you get to the hard sayings, you discover that the body of a person is the creation of the serpent. And this is when you cease to be overcrowded. This is when the disciple looks at the Christ and says, isn't that going a little bit too far? What do you expect of us? And the Christ says, I expect of you the cross. That's where we're going. We're going to the cross. We're going to the place of total reliance on the Spirit, not on matter. That's what the teaching is about. Overcoming the belief in the existence of matter is dropping away that sense of birth, which is the first, that the second birth may take place, which is spiritual awareness. Now, there's no hedging in this rebirth. You can't keep one foot in spirit and one foot in matter. You can't even make statements like, I'm going to take dominion over my body. Because the moment you think you're going to do that, you've got one. And there's none to take dominion over. The sayings get harder and harder and harder. They are demanding that you accept a 100% God. Very rarely will you meet anyone in all your travels who has accepted a 100% God. And if you have even met such a one, that is a rarity. The 100% God is the acceptance that God is all there is, and that which is not God is not existent. The minute you have found an evil somewhere, you have found a place where God is not 100%. And either you are wrong or God is wrong. The minute you have found a human form, you have found a place where God is not 100%. Why? Because God is not a human form. So the cross is the crossing out of that which is not God in our consciousness. All that is not God and of God is to be crossed out. And the miracles were not a miracle at all. They were a crucifixion of the lie, culminating in the final crucifixion of the lie. We only associate crucifixion to the moment on the tree. But the life of the adult Christ Jesus walking this earth was a crucifixion of matter and material conditions every day. A crucifixion of the beliefs of mortal mind. A crucifixion of the serpent. And when the final crucifixion of the serpent occurred, no one was aware of it. They thought it was the crucifixion of Jesus. It was the crucifixion of the world. The world was crucified. The power of the world was crucified and revealed as non-existent. And the shock of what happened, still reverberating, has veiled for us the reality of being. Christ on earth is the expression of God in you. You cannot be less than what you are. And when you find that you cannot live as Christ, it is because the serpent still has managed to imprison you in beliefs that God is less than 100%. The revelation of your own invisible self opens the doorway to the transformation. Whenever you find yourself at a place where you can go no further, and you're frustrated because of it, you will discover it is because you have not accepted the invisibility of your being. You're still trying to pierce the veil on the visible plane. And that's part of the trickery of the serpent. Now let's see this serpent as a cosmic serpent. Let's see the serpent trying to peek into heaven on one end, and forming an idea of the kingdom of God with that one end of the serpent, and then through the other end, it projects that idea, interpreted, distorted, into what we call a material world. You see that curving horn of the serpent? On one end it receives its impressions, on the other end it projects its impressions. It is the dreamer. The world carnal mind is the dreamer, and we are the dreamer. And when Moses, illuminated, is able to tell us about the serpent in the garden, he's pulling a little stunt like Shakespeare did. Over here, he says, this is a tree. We don't need a studio or a scenic designer. You just know it's a tree because the sign says so. And Moses did that. He said, over here is a serpent. But what I really mean is that in Adam is a mind, and that mind is a serpent. And in Eve is a mind, and that mind is a serpent. And there's another end to that serpent. It's called Lord God. It's part of the same serpent. The end, which is called Lord God, talks to the mind in Adam and the mind in Eve. The world mind, the world serpent, speaks out of one head into the other. One head individualizes as the mind of a man, the mind of a woman, the mind of a child. The other head is the cosmic serpent, speaking through itself to itself. So Moses, to clarify that, brings that serpent out into the open where you can see him. Instead of saying God says to Adam, he says the Lord God says to the serpent, and then the serpent says to Adam. But what he really means is the mind in Adam is part of the serpent, which receives from the cosmic self, the cosmic world self, the lie about that which is not God's creation. God's creation coming into the serpent mind becomes our material world. See, out there, that's the tree of good and evil, says the serpent. But it isn't there. All that's out there is God's perfect spiritual universe. All that's out there is the tree of life. And where is this tree of good and evil? It is in the very mind of the serpent, which is exclaiming that it is there. And this being the mind of Adam, he sees evil in the world and he sees good in the world, because he has a house divided for a mind. It's called a serpent. It is going to recreate creation in its own serpent image. And it is going to destroy its own creation. It is a self-destructive mind. It creates and destroys. It tempts, it lies, it fools. It knows not the Father. It is called by the Master the Father of Lies. And that mind is in the mind of every person who walks this earth. The high and the low, the presidents and the peasants. It makes no difference. Human birth is coming into the serpent mind. And the serpent mind knows only its creation. That's the world we've all been so proud of. The world mind, the serpent, creates its own world. And that world exists only within the world mind. And yet it's here for a purpose. Until we have come to grips with the knowledge that that which we are seeing external to ourself exists only within the serpent mind, we have no defense against it. We are helpless. We are compelled to accept whatever our mind thinks. And naturally, it's going to paint pretty pictures. It paints many pictures of many benefits that we can obtain if we will follow this course or that. And while we trustingly accept it, we discover that the benefits we are to receive are time bombs. They explode in our faces. They are perishables. They are not permanent because they are not divine. And then, not trying to discredit the Father, we still look everywhere to find a cause, never suspecting that the human mind is an accomplice with the world mind in this valley of the shadow of death. Now, up to a point, we have the opinion that we can make this a better world. We think we could make certain improvements, eliminate certain things, and ultimately there will be peace between nations. There will be happiness in human hearts. But if we still believe that, we are mistaken. The Christ mission was to show us that the world already is dead. It never has been alive. It isn't something that's going to end. It never began. It never was. The kingdom of heaven is all that is, and God, revealing himself as Christ on earth in you, reveals that the only place you can ever be, whether knowingly or not, is in the kingdom of heaven. For there is no other self than the Christ, and only the false sense of self prevents us from experiencing divine government here and now. So we're told to lift up the serpent in man, to overcome the serpent, to learn how to tread on serpents. Meaning, each of us individually has to be able to face the human mind within us and recognize that it is the natural man who receiveth not the things of God. That's the first birth, that mind. And we have to come over the belief that through and with that mind, we can make this a better world. My kingdom is our only goal, our only acceptance. We're not interested in this world, which is not my Father's kingdom. We're not interested in nothingness. We're not interested in the perishables of this world. Where do we go? We can continue our life in matter, disregarding the teaching, disregarding the Christ, disregarding the Word of God, and try to make it a better physical life. But that's what people have been doing for 5,000 years. And people will continue doing it, because you can go through an entire lifespan without even being aware that there is such a thing as Christ on earth. You can put your faith in a League of Nations, and then a United Nations, and tomorrow in another kind of collective activity. But there'll still be boys going off to war and boys not coming home. There'll still be germs, there'll still be accidents, there'll still be hate and violence. There will still be the statistics that show that approximately 1% of the population dies every year. Why? Because they have put their faith in a better physical life, a better material world. And here's our Bible telling us that to know God aright is life everlasting. To know spirit aright is not reincarnating in the flesh. Who are the disciples going to be then? They're going to be those who have reached that level of understanding where they're not interested in defying or violating the Word of God, nor are they interested in maintaining their present sense of humanhood, but rather have come to a place where the second birth, the realization of selfhood, is not only their individual wish for themselves, but for all men. They are now ready to tighten their belts, to do whatever is necessary to come into that place where they accept Christ on earth as the one inhabitant of what we have called our world. They literally step out of the powers of the visible world and learn how to walk, how to live, how to stand fast in the invisible universe of spirit. They come to a place where they can say, I am an invisible being. No human being on earth can see me. I'm not a perishable being. And because I am spirit, the child of God, I never could have been born, because spirit has no beginning in matter. Spirit has no ending in matter. And I, spirit, accept my spiritual identity everywhere that form appears. There is no place where form appears that my spiritual identity is not there. Why? Because God is 100%. Over there is 100% of God. Across the bay is 100% of God. Down the peninsula is 100% of God. Off in every state and country of the world is 100% of God. And you can't find a place in the sky where God isn't 100% either. No, I'm not trying to take dominion over a body. I'm trying to live in my spiritual body. For all dominion is simply in being what you are. Now, the Master had to train his disciples to the point where they were ready to renounce all material ties, all material bondage, all material limitations, and all material laws as non-existent in God. They were leaving all concepts. They were leaving families. They were leaving the material way of life. They were crossing it out. They were learning to crucify matter, material conditions, mortal sense. They were literally crucifying the world mind at every opportunity, wherever it appeared before them, wherever it made its claim of a presence other than God. They learned to crucify it in their consciousness. To be reborn in Christ identity. To walk the earth expressing the qualities of God. And to cross out the limiting belief of a temporary lifespan. In Christ, there is life, not a lifespan. In Christ, there is infinity, not finite living, finite thinking, finite experience. I, the heir of the Father, am heir to all that the Father hath. So the child of God accepts infinite individuality. Now, 8 feet away from you, God is. and 8 feet behind you, God is, and 8 feet above you, God is. Wherever you look, up, down, left or right, God is. Human beings think in terms of 1% here and 1% there, and add up all the percents, and it's 100%. But that's not the divine way. God is 100% behind you, and God is 100% in front of you. And God is 100% right where you stand. And that 100% is the fact of life. You don't have to make it so. God is 100% of your being right now. And when that is your consciousness, through the daily acceptance of it, the daily proving of it, the daily experience of it, you will discover that 100% of God where you are is the meaning of I in the midst of thee am mighty. I in the midst of thee have meat the world knows not of. I in the midst of thee can perfect and perform all that you are appointed to do. I in the midst of thee know nothing about non-existence, nothing about problems, nothing about errors, nothing about human children. The moment you have human children, you have said God is not 100%. Now, the great conditioning of the years makes it difficult for us to say that's not a human child. But if God is revealing himself as Christ on earth, where is God Christ on earth? Over here and not over there? In one little place and not in another? Or does his reign fall on all? Is the substance of God the substance of every individual on earth or not? And if it is that a human child? No, it's the serpent who declares this is a human child, and that serpent is the mind of man, which says this is a human child, this is a mortal child. The Father says there are none. I am all, and therefore the child you have called a human is a mortal mind's concept. And you have misnamed that child because the serpent mind has done the naming. Now this serpent later has got to be dragged out of your consciousness. Today I'd like you to see that you can stand and watch this mind of yours and even overcome its tricks. Now you look outside. And there you see a sick child. Right where the sick child is, unknown to the serpent mind, there is the perfect 100% Christ of God. Obviously, if you stay in the serpent mind, that's all you're going to see, the sick child. But God didn't make that sick child, and God isn't that sick child, and God isn't that material child, and yet only God is there. Then what is putting a sick child out there? That's the reason for the serpent, the world mind. It puts out there a sick child. But is it out there? No, that serpent is the mind in you, which thinks it's out there. It can't be there because God is there. Where's the sick child? It's only in the mind that beholds it. And so we see the trick of matter is to appear out there. But it never is. God is there. Where you appear materially, God is there. The serpent mind looks at it and says, there's you. But you're not there. Christ is there. The Spirit of God is there. and the rebirth is the realization of that fact. Now, the trick of the serpent is so subtle that while you're looking out and seeing a sick child out there, it's that very instant that you are receiving the belief in a sick child from the world mind within you. The receipt of the idea and the perception of it out there are simultaneous. From the world mind to you comes the belief, and your mind then identifies that belief as an external object which isn't there. There isn't anything you can see on this earth that isn't in your mind and being received at this instant in your mind from the world mind. Always what you think you're looking at out there is the world mind coming through to your mind. And simultaneously, your mind transposes it into the belief of an external object. If the world is not God's creation, it can only exist as a belief, not as a reality. If the world is not the kingdom, then you have discovered that the serpent mind is the creator of the world. And its method is world mind, individualizing as the individual human mind, then pointing to its own inner creation as if it were an external creation. And the very mind that points confirms its own creation in you. And all the while you're saying, there it is, but it isn't you, it's the mind in you saying, there it is, and that isn't the Christ mind. And so we find, right in the midst of ourselves, in the midst of this Garden of Eden, right here, is the mind that isn't. The house divided, double header, forming concepts about your Father's kingdom, about you, about your life itself. And all this is the testing. It isn't here accidentally. It's here so that as we learn to look now at serpent mind within and to fast from it, to detach from it, to be alert to it, to watch it, to be uninfluenced by it, having been alerted to its tricks, we can watch it and say, oh, I know who you are. You're that fellow Pilate that Christ Jesus stood before and said, thou couldst have no power over me. And I, looking at you now, I am the Christ making that declaration to you in me. I say to you that you can have no power over me, because I understand the nothingness of the serpent mind. Now, unless you're watching that mind, you're going to be deceived by it continuously. You're going to go out and live in a world of matter that isn't there. But when you are able to stand and watch that mind in you until you are divorced from its suggestions, its beliefs, its condemnations, its thoughts, whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts, until you are able to step aside from that mind and render it powerless to influence you one way or another, you cannot experience the Christ mind. And that Christ mind comes as you are able to cross out and crucify the world mind in you. It is the father of lies, the tempter, called in the Bible Satan, the devil, the dragon, and many other names, Jezebel. All of this is the world mind that is pretended to be our individual human mind. Foolishness to us as human beings. But it is the natural mind that veils us from our own divinity and from the Garden of Eden in which we unknowingly walk 24 hours a day. Gradually, the transformation reveals new mansions of consciousness, new fruitage, a new sense of self, and finally you're eating the real bread. Instead of the bread of the human mind, you find you're eating the bread of life, the real substance which is eternal. You break the karma of this world mind, which is embedded civilization in the dream or nothingness state, separate and apart from the activity of Christ on earth. Now, it's very encouraging to see that many people have already been able to prove to themselves that this is so. That as they are able to fool that which has fooled them, as they are able to stare down the Satan mind, which declares the evils of the world around us, which it itself has created in our minds, we find those dissolving. We find divine qualities coming through. We find God expressing in our lives. We see the Master was giving us all the power to stand here and say, in myself, I need no defense. In myself, I am the only presence. He was pointing out that there is an invisible sea of spirit behind the imagined material world of the serpent. Now you have total dominion by virtue of Christ to live in this sea of spirit all around you. In the knowledge that God everywhere is at full strength, and it makes no difference what physically or materially or mentally may deny it. It doesn't change the full strength of God. You can walk anywhere knowing 100% of God is there or wherever else you may want to go. And finally, we're to come into an awareness so receptive to this invisible sea of spirit that it is living itself where we stand. It isn't anymore a you making decisions. As the serpent mind is flooded out, the infinite sea of spirit around you thinks through you, moves through you, expresses through you, and only divine qualities come through you. But that is now what you're called upon to walk in, so that you can say, mine own has come to me. There was a time when we said, it would come to me, it will come. But the truth is that in my Christ self, I realize mine own has come to me. That the complete fulfillment of being is included. Nothing can be withheld. Nothing can be subtracted. Nothing can be removed. There is no one to seek, nothing to seek. We are already the accepted presence of the Christ of God. This is your now universe. The pure, infinite Spirit of God everywhere as your spirit. Christ on earth. And as the feeling of it mounts within you, you can know that everywhere is flowing through this point where my imaged form seems to be. And everywhere is expressing divine qualities through me and in all my relationships. Everywhere is expressing itself as my perfect self. Now you have to strongly tear yourself away from the condemnation of Christ. Not just condemning persons. Every time you identify anywhere as a problem area, you're condemning Christ. You're denying the invisible sea of spirit. Now, it makes no difference how close to home the problem area may be. All of us will find that our problem areas are testing moments. They're moments in which there is a sifting out. There are those who will accept the problem area, and all they're doing is bowing to the serpent and agreeing. Yes, you're right, God isn't there. And then there are those who, alerted to this, will say to the mind within them, which is pointing out a problem area, "Why, you are just the serpent mind of the world, creating within yourself a problem area and trying to convince me there is such a place. Where can it be if God is all?" You see, the hypnotism is located right within you. And then you find you don't have to change the problem area or go after it with any of the human methods. You have to recognize the nature of the problem is the double-headed serpent. Which is the channel through which problems come into your visible world. And your belief that they are there is the serpent in you giving you a belief. And right there, the problem isn't the problem that you're seeing out there. It's always one problem, just the serpent mind in us. No other place. So I have to now become aware of this so much that I either awaken to the world or to the kingdom. If I find myself in the world, I'm in that serpent mind. Now, this is a very difficult watching. You may not be able to do it all day, but you're going to have to find time to do it. You're going to have to watch this mind within you. Because that's the method through which you are imprisoned in material bondage in a material world. The unobstructed universe is all around us, and we must live in it consciously, free of the impediments of matter, free of the false material laws that apply only to material person, but never to he who has accepted spiritual identity. Now, your greatest strength in coming out of the serpent mind is to know there is one infinite divine self. You can't haul yourself out of this through human thinking because you're using the serpent mind. And it will always trap you into thinking you've got a solution. There are no human solutions. You must be conscious of the one self. Everywhere as God's self. Everywhere, not 89 or 99%, but perfect, 100%. And therefore, wherever the problem appears, you, in your consciousness, supply the missing ingredient, the knowledge that God there is 100%. And then, no compromise. Stand on the truth as presented through Scripture, that God there is all that is there. God where you are is all that is there. The one divine self is all that is present. You will discover the serpent mind is starved. It has been living off of our ignorance of the 100% of God. Let's take a peek at the scripture now, and I think you'll find that it explains itself. Even though loaves and fishes have rained out of the sky, and they've wanted to make Christ king, he is teaching them a higher teaching. He is not teaching them how to be comfortable human beings, well fed, happy. He is teaching them the secret of Christ's identity as self-fulfilling and life without end. Being material creatures guided by the serpent mind, they're very content with normal matter. It's only when their normal matter is threatened that they're even interested in following Christ Jesus. So now they come to him for more loaves and fishes. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Somehow it appears that he crossed the sea again without a boat. They couldn't understand how that could happen. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now the Son of Man, we know by now, is the Christ self of you. And so everlasting life, permanence, only comes through Christ accepted. The human methods are perishable. It's not a deep, dark secret. We know they're perishable. What we didn't know was that there's a way that is imperishable. And Christ in you, accepted, is the way to the imperishable. Now it says, labor not for the meat that perisheth. And that means labor not in a sense of material suffering. We're coming to the place where materialism, the belief in its existence, is being pointed up to us as the barrier, the sense veil of the serpent, which is erected in mind, keeping us out of our realization of life everlasting, opening us to all of the false powers which take away life everlasting. Without the belief in matter, all of the material conditions that remove life everlasting will themselves be removed. And the method is Christ in you. For Christ in you is sealed by the Father. Now this sealing by the Father means that the will, the wisdom, the love, the truth, the very life of God is in Christ in you. And the acceptance of Christ in you is the second birth. For Christ in you is the spiritual self, and man is the material self. Choose ye, man the material self, or Christ the spiritual self. But don't make the mistake that the serpent will try to press upon you to choose a little bit of each. Choose ye this day, God or mammon. It doesn't say a little of each. Which are you going to follow? Christ in you is sealed by the Father. Christ in you is the bread that is imperishable. Matter is not sealed by the Father. Matter is perishable. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Why are we being pushed out of material form so steadfastly throughout the teaching of Jesus Christ? That we may know the Father aright. Because in material form you cannot know the Father aright. You cannot know God as a human, material, mortal being. You can only know the false world of the serpent. Now try to see that the human sense of us is presented here by the Pharisees asking Jesus all these questions. And so the very serpent mind is asking the Christ mind. In you is this inner conflict between the serpent mind, which refuses to accept the Christ mind. And this drama is played here by the Pharisees questioning Jesus Christ. The soul is saying one thing, and the mind of man is saying another. This is the dialogue between the soul and the mind. They said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" That's the mind. We want to work the works of God. The soul says, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And so when your mind says, "Oh yes, I want to do the works of God," the soul corrects it and says, "Well, if you do, it's telling you to accept Christ as your identity. What are you waiting for? Believe on him whom he hath sent." Christ of God is the only begotten of the Father. Now, I think you can see that the acceptance of Christ is unquestionably where you're going every day. The question is how. And having uncovered the nature of the human mind to turn away from Christ, it's a rather drastic step to label your own human mind as the Antichrist. That's the way of accepting that only the mind of God in you can be acceptable. The mind of God in you is not identifying any problems in your life. The mind of God in you only sees the kingdom of God and its perfection. Therefore, that which you see which is not the kingdom of God and its perfection is another mind looking out of you, and that's the mind that has fooled you. It is the Antichrist. Don't be surprised, because there's a Judas in among the 12 disciples. Even while you're learning who you are, what you are, where you are, there's a Judas. And that Judas is part of the serpent mind. And its purpose reveals itself in time to force you above all human thought. All human words into a blanket acceptance that only God is present on the earth. All else is the serpent mind's imagination, and in that knowledge the serpent falls out of heaven. And world karma for you is broken. There is no serpent mind. Here stands revealed the Christ and the Christ mind as your identity. This now fact can be accepted to the degree that you have the capacity to reject all suggestions of the human mind. That nothing begins in the human mind for you, but rather the sea of spirit becomes your thinking apparatus. That infinite sea is what you wait for. This is the waiting upon the Lord. This is being still and letting the infinite sea of spirit come through the midst of you. Letting that river of love be all that can nudge you into action. Nothing else. And then you're not laboring for the meat that perisheth. You're not hypnotized into temporary benefits when you are the heir to the allness of the Father now. Now you may feel that you're making your transformation in consciousness the moment you can look at the world around you and know that it is nothing more than the mind within you out picturing at that instant what God did not create. The moment you have this awareness, it's like the drunk finding that the serpents he's been seeing in his head aren't there. The moment you can identify what's happening, you've overcome it. All this world is the mind of you out picturing, and it is creating the world for you. Next to you, your neighbor has another outlet of that serpent mind, and the serpent mind there is creating the world for your neighbor. It looks pretty much like your world, but your neighbor's experiences are definitely different than yours, so you can see it's really a little different world for your neighbor. And all of our experiences being different, the serpent mind in each paints a little different world. We all look out upon it and think it's the same one world. But as many as there are serpent minds, there are that many worlds. You remember that where you are, one person sees you one way, and another person really sees you a different way. No two people see you identically. 20 people sit down to paint a landscape, no 20 people paint the same landscape. They're all looking not at the same landscape, they're all looking out through an image in their mind. There are 20 landscapes that they're painting because there are 20 different minds there. Each individual serpent mind is painting its mental picture. And they all think there's a landscape out there. But there isn't. There's just 20 pictures in the mind. And if there are 5 million people, there are 5 million pictures in the mind. And if there are 50 people looking at Jesus, there are 50 images in mind about what he looks like. But he isn't there. Only the invisible Christ is there. And so you've heard Joel say many times, you've never seen me, and I've never seen you. That wasn't a joke. You had never seen him, and he had never seen you, because you are not a physical creature. God is revealing himself as Christ on earth. And then who's this physical creature? It's the world mind's concept about you. It comes through your mind as the world mind, individualized, and then it merely sees its own concept. Because you've accepted that mind as yours, you see what it sees. And you say, that's me. But if not for the Christ on earth, we'd never get beyond this fourth day of Genesis, in which we live in material forms that are temporary, just frameworks of the imagination. Why, that would be like stopping a bud on a tree and saying, you can't go any further. You're a bud. You must stay a bud. We'd never have flowers. We are to flower into the fifth day of soul. And until we destroy the belief in a mind that is not a divine mind, that fifth day does not come. We don't move into that new mansion of self in soul. And so the world is changing now. The Christ emphasis is coming through. And in the vanguard here, you are learning how to come into Christ awareness without letting blood, without dying physically, without being buried in a coffin. You are learning to be Christ by the acceptance of the living word and the fasting from the serpent mind which has dominated the world. You're learning to catch it in you, at its source, before it can paint its lurid pictures of a good and evil world that wasn't made by the Father. You're learning not to go outside to correct it, but to catch it in you before the projection, to literally cut the serpent in half, invalidating it, so that the one end that's receiving impressions that are unreal cannot broadcast those impressions through you. The serpent is unmasked. Christ rises. Now that's what the carnal mind then is, this cosmic serpent which lieth, which paints its illusory world and peoples its illusory world with what it calls mortal beings. When all that is there, where the mortal being seems to be, is the immortal self. You can just shake it off again, and shake it off a dozen more times until you don't feel bound into a limited area, until you can see beyond what the eye can see, until you can feel the unobstruction of the perfect, endless spiritual universe and feel the scope of your true being.